Mother's Day. Well, first I want to say I am truly humbled and honored to be speaking amongst so many wonderful mothers. I am blessed to be amongst you guys. So I want to say thank you for that. I know that many of you probably, when you walked in and saw Tabitha giving the message, probably thought, oh, because coming in and giving up your Sunday. Mother's Day, and I'm not the most seasoned person to give a message, so, but I am thankful for the family that allows growth and forgiveness and grace and allows that room to let each of us do that. So thank you. I want to say that from the bottom of my heart. So today's Mother's Day message is going to be Proverbs 31:30. Is the scripture I'm going to open with, and it's going to be the virtuous woman. Okay, so Proverbs 31:30, and I'm going to, this particular one I'm reading from the Passion, they're putting the New King James up there, so just to let you know. Charm can be misleading, and beauty is vain, and so quickly fades. But this virtuous woman lives in the wonder, awe, and fear of the Lord. She will be praised throughout eternity. She will be praised throughout eternity. Can you imagine that? Throughout eternity. I don't know about you, but that excites me. That gives me a goal. I want to be like that. And then we have Proverbs 31. It says, depicts the virtuous woman of faith who feared the Lord. So she fears the Lord. Today we are going to look at five core values of the Bible that speaks of a virtuous woman. We're going to start with one, is obeying God's word. A virtuous woman obeys God, or is in God's word daily. It's her spiritual nourishment. The virtuous woman knows the word is active and living, or living and active, excuse me. So my next, I have a lot of scripture today, so I'm going to apologize ahead of time for that. So we're reading a lot of scripture, so get ready. So 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture, are you there? Yeah. Okay. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then also we're going to look at Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. But she also knows that the word, okay, excuse me, but she also knows the word and does not consider its instructions worthless. Sorry. James 1:22-25. But the doers of the word, and not the hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. She knows her obedience is to the Lord, is vital to the understanding of the word. I say this, for me, I was always someone who was not really into the word that deep. And when I did read the word, I would always say, I don't understand the word. It's something I don't understand. And so that was always kind of my excuse. I was blessed with the opportunity with my husband to go to the Broken Conference down in Dawsonville, Georgia. And during that, I was exposed to Kineo Ministry. It's an in-depth Bible study ministry. And my husband and I talked, and it's something that I did sign up for. And through that, I have been daily in the Word. Wow, let me tell you what. When you're daily in the Word, it changes things. It gives new meaning to everything. It opens up things in a different perspective. So that was something I had to learn the hard way. So that was just something there. So then we move on to a virtuous woman prays. That's our next core value. So we go to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. I don't know about you, but I was not one to do that. And then next is Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. When burdens become too heavy and we feel like we can't catch a break with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is there to help us in our weaknesses. When we don't know what to pray, the Spirit intercedes for us. I, too, am going to talk about my personal experience. I was always one in life, even growing up. I prayed. I knew, like, starting out as a young girl, my parents would take me to church. I knew enough to pray. I knew to pray when someone was sick. Then we came to Calvary, and I learned a little more, and I knew to pray for people and my children a little harder, I guess I should say. But I also knew that we had prayer warriors in the church, and I also knew we had intercessors in the church. So then my thought process was, okay, I'm saved, I pray, but I still am anxious, and I still have all this turmoil in my life, but I have all these prayer warriors that surround me. They're more holier than me. They have a bigger connection. So then I take all this turmoil in my life, and guess who I'm calling? I'm calling my prayer warriors and my intercessors, and I'm pouring all this out on them all the time, thinking that that's what I'm supposed to do. Well, then I have this experience. I don't know why I had it in Dawsonville, but I did. And we start coming to prayer night and getting closer, and then I get my prayer language. And so I start getting this deeper intimacy in prayer, and I learn what it is to be on my knees and can come to prayer on Wednesday night, come to prayer on Friday, pray at home, have my prayer language. And let me tell you why. I appreciate my prayer warriors. I appreciate the intercessors. But it's different now. I don't have to pour it out on everyone. I don't have to pick up the phone every time and just blab and cry and expect everyone else to do the work for me, the hard work, while I sit at home and cry in my sorrows and wonder why nothing is changing in my life. Now I directly go, and I have a much better peace in my life. I have a calmness in my life now.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. I guess I should say my husband has better peace in his life. And I think my prayer warriors do too. So just encourage you. Come on Wednesday nights. Come on Fridays. That wasn't a plug for that, but why not? Yeah, why not? And get, you know, if you're not doing that, do it. Okay, so then we're going to move. This is going to be short, guys, so enjoy your Mother's Day. So then we move on to a virtuous woman lives in community. She enjoys being an integral part of the church. She enjoys being. Enjoys. Did you get that, guys? Enjoys. Not, it's not a chore. Okay? She enjoys. There's happiness there. She enjoys. Romans 12:4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members, this is from the Passion, I guess I should start over and say. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 27. This is a long one. Just as the human body is one, though it has many parts that together form one body, so too is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all immersed and mingled into one single body. And no matter our status, whether we are Jews or non-Jews, oppressed or free, we are all privileged to drink deeply of the same Holy Spirit. In fact, the human body is not one single part, but rather many parts mingled into one. So if the foot were to say, since I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it's forgetting that it is still a vital part of the body. And if the ear were to say, since I'm not an eye, I'm not really a part of the body, it's forgetting that it's still an important part of the body. Think of it this way. If the whole body were just an eyeball, how could it hear sounds? And if the whole body were just an ear, how could it smell different fragrances? But if the body carefully designed each member and placed it in the body to function as desires, a diversity is required for if the if the body consisted of one single part, there wouldn't be a body at all. So now we see that there are many differing parts and functions, but one body. It would be wrong for the eye to say to the hand, I don't need you. And equally wrong if the head said to the foot, I don't need you. In fact, the weaker our parts, the more vital and essential they are. The body parts we think are less honorable, we treat with greater respect. And the body parts that need to be covered in public, we treat with propriety and clothe them. But some of our body parts don't require as much attention. Instead, God has mingled the body parts together, giving greater honor to the lesser members who lacked it. He has done this intentionally so that every member would look after the others with mutual concern, and so that there will be no division in the body. In that way, whatever happens to one member happens to all. If one suffers, everyone suffers. If one is honored, everyone rejoices. You are the body of the Anointed One, and each of you is unique and a vital part of it. She understands being devoted to the fellowship of body, and they bear one another's burdens. I think Calvary does a pretty good job at this. So, but you know, we could do probably better in some aspects. Speaking of me, I'll speak of me. I know I, but I will say this. My husband, my dear, dear husband, has allowed me to turn in my 2 weeks' notice at work. Yay! So I am no longer going to be employed. So, you know, I will hopefully make this a focus of mine to do better at this. So that is a goal of mine. And last, oh my goodness. Okay. And last is a virtuous woman clings to the gospel. A virtuous woman is you and me. She was, not is, was a sinner, simply saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. There isn't anything magical about it, simply faith. Faith that Christ creates, faith in Christ creates the virtuous woman. So we're going to read 2 Corinthians 5:17. Don't have that one? Okay. That's okay. She does. Okay. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. She knows that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection not only saves her from eternity in hell, but is the sustaining grace that furthers her sanctification. Okay, so with all that said, we should not strive to become the virtuous woman in the Bible. However, we should strive to become more like Jesus. We should turn to the promises of God to fight temptations, repent of sin, and believe God's grace is transformative. So in closing, a virtuous woman clings to the gospel, fears the Lord, and sees the depth of her sin and how it is covered by unmerited grace, which leads to a life of praise. So there. I have a short video.
We're going to have the kids come out wherever the kids are at. Could we get the kids out of the classroom? And so what we're going to do is we got some pots
after
with some flowers.
Huh? After the video.
After the song?
Yeah.
Okay. She's going to do it after the song.
So they have time.
So you can play the song.
While the kids get all rounded up.
You know, we are in awe of our mothers. You know, God chose a woman to produce life. After he created Adam and he took the bone and the rib from Adam and he made woman and he brought the man and woman together, life began to dwell in the woman. God chose a special type of person, a special type of lady. See, he chose you perfectly. Perfectly, Mom. To bring up children, to render them, to love them, be compassionate for them. Fathers can't do that, but only you can do that, and God has chosen you perfectly all across the world. From the very beginning, he chose and had you in mind to raise these children. Come on up, kids. To raise these children. To see the good. Even when they go through hard times, even when our children disappoint, the mothers are still there to caress, even when the dads are tough.